Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with Randall Baumhorn.
His book is Growing Pains, Learning to Love My Father's Faith. Let's talk about your father himself for a minute. Well, you describe your father, and you tell the story of playing catch with him as a kid as kind of a stereotypical snapshot of one of the aspects of your father's personality.
My father was someone who was reared in rural Nebraska on a farm, and when he was a teenager, he went into the nearest town to visit a revival meeting that was being conducted at the new church in town, which was called the Evangelical Free Church. And he gave his heart to Jesus that night, and it changed his life. Very shortly thereafter, he went off to seminary and began studying for the ministry, and was really single-minded, I think, throughout his life about being called to the ministry and being a good pastor. And he was indeed a very, very good pastor, very successful. But in terms of being a father, I think sometimes that was a little bit lower on his priority list, although I have to say in his defense that later in his life he came to regret that. And with my younger brothers, he was much more attentive to them than he had been to me. But, you know, the first kid is always kind of the experimental kid, so it happens, and I bear no bitterness about that. But it was very often the case that I didn't see my father for long stretches of the time, even though I could count on seeing him behind the pulpit on Sunday morning and then again on Sunday evening. He didn't have a whole lot of time to be a parent.
What was the playing catch story? Why was that so significant as a metaphor for you in life?
Well, I think it's one of the pieces in the book, certainly, and I talk about how baseball was very important to me as a six-year-old kid, and I really wanted to play baseball. And we were living then in farm country out in southern Minnesota. It wasn't as though I could knock on a neighbor's house because the nearest neighbor was half a mile down the road. And so one day my father came back from town with a bat and ball and was going to pitch to me. And we started playing, and I kind of swung wildly. And then because I had no experience playing baseball, and then I knew enough about baseball to know that four pitches made base on balls if you didn't swing at the pitches. So I didn't swing at a few, and he finally just kind of said, well, you know, what's the point of all this, and kind of disappeared into his study with a huff, and we never played baseball again.
Yeah, that's a sobering story. And one of the things that you talk about is fathers as a metaphor for God, and how as young people are trying to understand who God is, they shape those views often around their father, which as a father is also a very sobering thought.
That's right. And I think I came to a point of crisis in my life when the notion of God the Father wasn't a very comforting figure for me. And so I think in some ways the turning point of my spiritual life was looking at God the Son, Jesus, as the most visible representation of God, and for me the most comforting representation of God. I think people who grow up within evangelicalism, especially in the decades that I did, are taught to expect this kind of triumphant God, the Father, who is kind of a no-nonsense person, a God of judgment, very much like our fathers. And for me, coming to terms with Jesus was a way of kind of going back into the faith.
One of the interesting things you do in this book, and it's a worthwhile exercise for all of us as we reflect on our parents, is you begin to see in retrospect how your father was shaped by his own family,
yeah.
A Swiss grandfather, a black sheep, a farm in Oregon, and beginning to backfill your father's story and realizing why his understanding and perception of the gospel and his own experience with it was a reflection of his own trajectory of his life.
Exactly. And his father left the farm in Nebraska during the Great Depression to find work out west and never came back. and eventually divorced his grandmother. Divorced my grandmother, his mother, and that certainly affected his life. And I think also in his defense, and I have come to terms with all this. I think I'm no longer bitter as I once was 10, 20 years ago. But in his own defense, he did not have a good model for parenting, mm-hmm. and so it was something alien to him, and he wasn't sure how to go about it in many ways.
Now, let's get back to your own trajectory. You were a kid that wanted to please, as you said. You got all the way through the high school years, and were pretty much trying to comply with the wishes, both lifestyle-wise and belief in doctrine. You head off to a Christian college, which was also probably part of fulfilling the expectations of family, but I think it's around then that you begin to understand that you love ideas, and that the ideas that you're exploring are kind of outside the box.
Exactly. I went to a Christian college in the early 70s, which was really quite a remarkable place, at least by the standards of Christian higher education. And there I met a number of young professors who seemed to be having the same sorts of struggles that I was, and I really became enamored of the life of the mind. Began pursuing the intellectual life, not terribly well at first, but eventually caught on, and I think probably did a little bit better through graduate school and so forth. But that was considered dangerous. College. One of the reasons I went to a college, as you suggested, a Christian college, is that it would be a safe place for me, a place where I wouldn't be inculcated with dangerous ideas and so forth. And so my parents felt fairly confident about sending me off to the school. And I guess it backfired on them in the sense that I became a bit restless intellectually, no longer interested in many of the same things that my parents were interested in.
Now, you did go on to seminary, but not on the MDiv track. You weren't going to be a pastor.
Right. I did an MA in church history, and because of my interest in history, and that kind of led me to graduate school rather than to the ministry, yes.
And when you chose Princeton, which in many families would be considered a wonderful accomplishment and a cause for celebration, your advisor warned you about one thing, and your father advised you about something else.
Yes. You read the book carefully, Dick. I appreciate it. Yes, when I broke the news to my advisor, he said, well, you know, they're going to come after you on the issue of biblical inerrancy. And in 5 years of graduate study at Princeton, not one person asked me my views on biblical inerrancy.
Yeah.
My father, on the other hand, who I thought might be proud of his son for having been admitted into an Ivy League university, got very quiet. And after a long silence, he said, well, words to this effect, that he hoped that my intellectual pursuits would not compromise my piety.
Hmm.
And I think I was fairly resentful of that sentiment at the time. But in a way, I've come to see that he had a real point, and I appreciate that now in a way that I couldn't at the time.
Join us for our next podcast with Randall Ballman. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.